This is CRI, China Radio International.
Welcome to CRI News. I'm Tu Yun in Beijing. In this edition, U.S. evidence briefing on Iraq's weapons program tops U.N. Security Council's agenda. Washington and Pyongyang will hold face-to-face meetings over the North Korean nuclear issue. China's auto industry is expected to enter world top five, and China will expand the scope of job qualification system. Those were the headlines, now the news in detail. Chinese Foreign Minister Tang Jiaxuan has expressed condolences over the death of the seven astronauts killed in the Columbia disaster when meeting U.S. Secretary of State Colin Powell in New York. The two say they will work jointly to further promote constructive and cooperative relations between China and the U.S. Tang Jiaxuan says China attaches great importance to the Iraqi issue and supports the leading role of the United Nations on the issue. China always believes Iraq should strictly and fully abide by relevant UN resolutions and destroy its weapons of mass destruction. He says the international community should also actively seek a political resolution for the Iraqi crisis. When meeting UN Secretary General Kofi Annan, Tang Jiaxuan says China supports UN to continue the weapons inspection in Iraq, and Iraq should expand the cooperation with the UN. Annan expressed his agreement with China's stance on the Iraqi issue, saying it is in line with UN principles and objectives. Wednesday's briefing on Iraq by U.S. Secretary of State Colin Powell will be the first big event on the U.N. Security Council's agenda for the month of February. Ambassador Günter Pluger of Germany says 12 foreign ministers, along with the permanent representatives of Syria, Guinea, and Angola, are expected to hear Powell's extensive briefing. Powell is expected to use audio and visual evidence that proves Iraq's guilt in harboring weapons of mass destruction. Meanwhile, Pluger says Germany has proposed that an Iraqi representative be present at Powell's evidence briefing. Chief UN Weapons Inspector Hans Blix says evidence given to the Security Council by America will not contain any new information about Iraq's weapons of mass destruction. He says the UN arms inspection teams are waiting for further instructions from the Security Council. Meanwhile, Bulgarian spokesman Dmytar Tsonev says the U.S. has asked to use Bulgarian airspace and airports in a possible military operation against Iraq. He says the government will present a response to its parliament. Bulgarian officials repeatedly say their country would provide logistical support for a U.S. strike. Iraqi President Saddam Hussein has again denied that Baghdad has weapons of mass destruction or links to Al-Qaeda. UN Inspector spokesman Hiro Ueki says the search team found another three empty chemical warheads in Iraq. He says inspection teams visited seven suspected sites on Tuesday, including the Al Rafah missile test base, 130 kilometers southwest of Baghdad. The Kuwaiti newspaper Al Watan reports the U.S. Army is stepping up its deployment of Patriot missiles in the country, preparing for the possible war against Iraq. The report quotes a U.S. Army officer as saying, "The number of Patriot missiles deployed is more than at any time since 1991 and will be increased further." The U.S. military reviews it has sent several stealth Nighthawk F-117A fighters to the Gulf, and the USS Roosevelt has also left for the region. Australia's Senate has passed a symbolic vote of no confidence in Prime Minister John Howard for his handling of the Iraqi issue, illustrating the deep divide in Australia over joining any war against Iraq. Howard, a staunch U.S. ally, has come under attack for sending troops and approving fighter jet deployments to the Gulf before the UN process has run its course. Leader of the left-leaning Australian Greens, Senator Bob Brown, says the Senate's motion, passed by 33 votes to 31, marked a historic condemnation of the government. He says Howard's mishandling of Australia's involvement deserved the strongest parliamentary rebuke. Canberra has yet to commit itself to joining any military action in Iraq, whether UN-approved or US-led. But Howard's decision to pre-deploy troops opened up a sharp political divide on the issue and prompted public protests. Moving on to the North Korean nuclear issue. U.S. Deputy Secretary of State Richard Armitage says face-to-face meetings between Washington and Pyongyang will take place over the dispute centered on North Korea's nuclear program, but no date has yet been set. Armitage told the U.S. Senate, the Bush administration still considers Iraq a more immediate threat than North Korea. He adds, the struggle with Baghdad has gone on for 12 years, and the Iraqi president wants to intimidate, dominate, and attack, while the Korean Peninsula is a relatively stable region, and Kim Jong-il wants economic relief. U.S. commander in South Korea, Leon Laporte, has denied he requested more troops for the Korean Peninsula. He says any future request would have to be discussed first with the South Korean Defense Ministry. Meanwhile, Russian Foreign Ministry spokesperson Alexander Yukovenko says his country is against the expansion of the U.S. military presence on the Korean Peninsula. He says any increased pressure on North Korea would have negative repercussions. This would not bring about the desired settlement of the problem through negotiations. He stresses there cannot be an alternative to peaceful settlement of the crisis through talks. You're listening to China Radio International. A Netherlands international consultancy predicts China will become one of the world's top five automakers next year. The number of cars made in the country will reach 3.9 million this year, an increase of 900,000 over last year. The report attributes the increase to rising incomes and tariff reductions, as well as higher foreign direct investment and fixed asset investment entering the country. China's Ministry of Personnel says the country will actively promote its job qualification system in selected professions. It says China's job qualification system is now virtually complete. Since the 1990s, the country has begun to adopt the system in occupations such as accountancy, medicine, and the law. China also established an occupational certification system for 23 special technical fields. The ministry notes China will expand the scope of the system, mainly in consultancy, finance, and broking, over the next 5 years. The number of overseas tourists coming into China exceeded 1 million during the first 3 days of the Spring Festival. The wide variety of Chinese cultures and customs scattered tourists all over the country, from the warm southern island of Hainan to the ice world in northeast China's Heilongjiang province. Security has been upped in the tourist zones to ensure a safe holiday for the travelers. A recent survey indicates 60% of China's urban residents are satisfied with their current life. Nearly 6% of them are very satisfied with their living. The survey shows urban residents have highly recognized the progress achieved in political and economic fields, and they're confident in the future development. It also shows some residents worry about their economic conditions and are not confident enough on consumption due to incomplete social security system. The survey was conducted among over 3,000 residents in 10 cities, including Beijing, Shanghai, and Guangzhou. Paying by cash or paying by cards. Over the past year, the establishment of a card network among banks and shops has made plastic payments a popular choice. But our reporter Lin Ling finds out, although quickly spreading across the country, bank cards still face bottlenecks for nationwide promotion.
Bank cards in China are broadening their functions from simply saving and withdraw to additional services like getting financing, stock trading, and online payment. Up to $1 trillion worth of plastic transactions last year in China proves that cards are becoming a popular way to pay. But cards issued by different banks sometimes present problems to clients, as they are only accepted by machines owned by the issuing bank. To tackle the problem, more than 80 Chinese banks and financial institutions set up a network in March last year, which makes cross-bank transactions easier. Entitled China Union Pay, cards from all member banks are now accepted by its network. As its business manager, Peng Guiling, believes, this will help cultivate a unified market.
China Union Pay aims to standardize competition so that the interests of both banks and cardholders can be protected.
But convenience is just one side of the coin. So far, most of the bank cards in China are just debit cards. This means clients cannot purchase goods on credit, and a lack of connection with overseas banks doesn't help travelers relax when they are abroad. As an overseas returnee, Mr. Liu suggests cards internationalization should come first.
Most Chinese bank cards cannot be used in other countries, and even those that can are weighed down with procedures. That's why many Chinese prefer using cash rather than cards when going abroad.
So teaming up with international payment companies seems to be one way that domestic banks can make life easier for their customers. More and more Chinese banks are becoming members of global service providers like Visa or MasterCard, which gives their clients greater freedom when buying goods. Ling Ling, CRI News.
Thank you, Ling Ling. This is CRI News. China's Ministry of Public Security says, due to the simplified procedures in passport issue, nearly 120,000 Chinese applied to immigrate last year, an increase of 50,000 on the previous year. However, it says the number of Chinese students going abroad for further study has fallen since the September 11th terrorist attacks, because the destination countries, particularly the United States, have adopted more stringent visa procedures. Preliminary investigations of Sunday's hotel fire in northeast China's Heilongjiang province, which claimed the lives of 33 people, indicates the fire resulted from misuse of a kerosene stove. An official with the State Administration of Work Safety Supervision, Zhang Guanghua, announced the results of the preliminary investigation to the media in Harbin. He explained a waiter's incorrect use of a kerosene stove caused the explosion and subsequent fire. That's all for this edition of CRI News. I'm Tu Yun. Thank you for listening. Please stay tuned for more on CRI.
Hello and welcome to the Spring Festival Special on China Radio International. I'm Shan Shan.
Happy Spring Festival, everyone. I'm Shen Ting.
Spring Festival is the name given to the Chinese New Year to distinguish it from the New Year on the Gregorian calendar. It is now being widely celebrated throughout China.
Yes, we can feel the festive atmosphere everywhere in the country now. It's called Spring Festival because it takes place in the spring. In China, it is the most important festival of the year, just as Christmas is in the West.
The date of the Spring Festival varies from year to year according to the Chinese lunar calendar. This year it falls on February the 1st. And the most important time of the Chinese New Year are the first two or three days.
Yes, I still remember that when I was a child, my parents always began preparations for the festival from the middle of the previous month, and the celebration lasted till the middle of the first month of the New Year.
Yes, it's China's New Year season. That whole period is a happy and meaningful time for Chinese people.
And the height of the celebration falls on Spring Festival Eve. So today's special is all about that.
Yes, it's a radio drama called Spring Festival Eve. But first, Shen Ting, how do you spend your Spring Festival Eve?
Well, I usually have a reunion dinner with my parents and brother and watch the annual TV gala. And you know, you can't use firecrackers in the city anymore at Spring Festival, so we improvise and stamp on balloons instead to add to the festivities. So Shen Shen, how do you celebrate your Spring Festival?
Actually, we do very similar things, and I think that's how many families in China spend the evening. But as living standards have been on the rise, many families are now choosing to go out to restaurants to celebrate.
Yes, I know. It's becoming more difficult to get a reservation at any of the popular restaurants in the town. You have to book well ahead, or you usually can't get a table.
Did you go out to eat?
No, usually I just decide I will have a reunion dinner with my parents and brother, so we just prefer having the dinner at home.
So you didn't follow the fashion. Eating out has become fashionable, but this wasn't the case in the past. Only two decades ago, restaurants usually closed up at Spring Festival Eve, and eating out was very rare. Only those who could not go home to their families during the holiday would dine out at restaurants.
Well, the story we are going to hear now is set in the early 1980s, and the protagonist is a small restaurant owner. He decides to open his restaurant on Spring Festival Eve, but his friends think he's foolish and try to convince him how unlikely it is that he will get any customers.
The story presents characters from all walks of life who portray a picture of how Spring Festival Eve was celebrated at that time.
The story was written by husband and wife co-authors under the name of Da Li. Both were born in 1947 and graduated from the Chinese Department of Beijing University in 1970. Ma Dajing now works for the Dalian Literature and Art Circle in Northeast China, while his wife Chen Yuqing is vice chairwoman of the organization. Since 1978, the couple have collaborated on a number of novellas and plays. This particular story was awarded a National Short Story Prize in the early 1980s.
It is not a happy time for the protagonist, Cui Ming, who has failed the entrance examinations to university and has been deserted by his former girlfriend. One thing he's still successful at, though, is running his restaurant. But is profit the only reason he opens for business on Spring Festival Eve?
Okay, let's find out now. Here is Li Ping.
The last customer came in at 6:30 to buy vinegar rather than to eat. She was all dressed up and her plump cheeks were red from the cold. Out of breath, she was clutching a bottle in her chubby little hand.
Mister, can I buy some vinegar? Mommy wants to make sweet and sour fish, but my brother spilled the vinegar.
Cui Ming went to the kitchen and poured some vinegar into the bottle. As a rule, privately run restaurants were not supposed to sell provisions, but today was Spring Festival Eve, and if someone urgently needed some vinegar, you really couldn't say no. The little girl took the vinegar, thanked him, and rushed out. Cui Ming picked up the money she left and spread it out on the counter. It was 50 fun. He quickly ran out, but the girl was long gone. A bottle of vinegar was only 10 fun, and she would get told of by her parents. Perhaps someone from her family would come to ask for the change. If they didn't, he would find her and return it. His place wasn't open on Spring Festival Eve to earn 40 fun that way. He would earn 4 or even 40 yuan honestly. He and Jin Xiaocui, the waitress, had a heated argument about money earlier that evening.
I've already said 100 times who'd give up a big family dinner on Spring Festival Eve and come to eat here.
Oh, you'd be very surprised. Fingers are all different lengths. Who knows?
Even if you get a few customers, how much can you make?
Well, the more the better, but if it's only a little, eh.
Let's close up and you can come and have dinner with us.
No.
If you don't, my father will be furious.
Jin Xiaocui's father was the chef in the factory canteen. A few days back, he had said to Cui Ming, "Since you're not going back to Beijing, I hope you'll come and spend the evening at our place, so we'll have some company." But Cui Ming just smiled and didn't reply.
"Let's go. My father will be getting impatient."
"No. You go home and give a hand with the cooking. Let me stay here and wait on a few more customers tonight."
"All you can think of is making money."
Jin Xiaocui wrapped her scarf round herself, marched out, and slammed the door. Night fell and the street lights came on. Cui Ming walked outside and turned on pavement lights. Immediately, the name Guest Welcome Cafe stood out on the signboard. His gloom and anxiety left him. Xiaocui's anger hadn't weakened his determination. He felt absolutely certain it would be a good night for business. They were located just in front of the railway station and near the busy center of the seaside town. Usually, there were plenty of seafood places open to attract customers, which took away their chance to shine. Tonight, however, the other shops were all closed, and their small cafe could take advantage of that. He didn't believe there wouldn't be a soul on the streets tonight. Later on in the evening, 6 passenger trains would arrive and hungry travelers would probably come in for a bite, because only his place was open. In the hours since Xiaocui's departure, however, only the little girl had come in. He suddenly felt hungry. Despite all the poultry, meat and seafood piled up on the chopping board, he was in no mood to cook. It was over half a year since he had learned from Jin Xiaocui's father how to boil, bake, fry and roast. He could even prepare a banquet all by himself, but now he just didn't feel like doing it. His skill lay in serving customers. Finally, he ate a bowl of plain noodles cooked in a small quantity of soup. Through the window, he could see a luminous orange hand on the railway station clock pointing to 8. The express train from Harbin was due 10 minutes ago, so where were the streams of passengers? Then he remembered there wouldn't be many travelers on Spring Festival night. There wasn't a soul on the quiet street. Usually there was a constant din of tram bells, but tonight you could scarcely hear a thing. Cui Ming liked the sound of tram bells, he was used to it. He remembered how nice it had been as a child to nestle up to his mother and listen to the pelting rain and the lilting bells before falling asleep. Now and again, blue sparks from the tram wires flickered across his dreams. He had often dreamed that he was in a white captain's uniform standing on the bridge of an ocean liner. On the quay in the bright sunshine, his mother and sister would be waving scarves, welcoming him home. He had dreamed many beautiful dreams in that room overlooking the street, but now it had become the guest's welcome cafe, and he was left to spend Spring Festival evening alone in his empty nest. He couldn't stop himself from reaching into his pocket again. His mother had sent him a telegram 3 days earlier telling him to come back home. His father was a surgeon in Beijing, and his mother had been transferred there last spring. He had a sister in middle school too, but he couldn't go. He was studying at the television university, and if he had gone with them, he would have had to pull out of school and give up his job. Worst of all, he had hated the thought of parting with his girlfriend, Bai Lin. He got to know Bai Lin when they were both doing manual labor in the countryside. The two of them had been together for 8 years. At that time, her father, a bureau chief, worked in a mountain village. Cui Ming had acted as her bodyguard, and Bai Lin, like an orphan kitten, had become very attached to him. After returning to the city, Bai Lin had become a bus conductor and was later transferred to do office work in the bus company. At that time, she still loved Cui Ming, but she didn't much like his working as a waiter at a factory canteen where his mother worked.
Take another university entrance examination this year. This time you can apply for the School of Arts and Sciences.
But Cui Ming was lacking in confidence as he had already failed twice. When they had been in that mountain village 100 li from the county seat, she hadn't objected to his ploughing the fields. So why did she push him so hard to take the college entrance exams now? Finally, he passed the entrance exam for the television university. Actually, he had only done it for her. And if he left, it would mean losing her. That was no good. When his mother had wanted to take him away, he had summoned up all of his courage to protest.
You and Dad have lived apart for so many years. Do you really want to make me and Bai Lin do the same thing?
His mother gave in. Her son had grown up and wanted to fend for himself. As a mother, she had to acknowledge that. So his mother and sister went back to Beijing, leaving him in this large, deserted house. Cui Ming had spent so many unforgettable days here, especially at Spring Festival when his father would come home for a fortnight. The whole place would ring with laughter. Spring Festival Eve was the high point. Everyone wore his or her best. His parents sat by the radio making dumplings while he and his sister set off fireworks outside. But tonight, he was all alone with nobody to talk to. He regretted that he hadn't listened to his mother and gone back to Beijing for the holiday. He felt lonely. CCTV had some special programs on, so he turned on TV. Suddenly, the door creaked open, and in came a small, thin, hunchbacked old man. It was Old Chai. He had given up Spring Festival dinner with his family and would be bustling in and out of the smoky boiler room all night long.
So, you've finished, Chai?
Oh, no. Not yet. The water's much too hot already. I've banked the fire a bit, so there's no work for me at the moment.
Look, take a breather, Chai. You've got the building pretty hot tonight. Look, I've opened the window.
Not only you. Almost everyone else's windows are open, too. That's why I came here, to have a drink.
Well, then it's just the right time for some good wine from the Feng Cheng Cellars. See the English words. It's for export.
Feng Cheng Cellars. Great, it's from my home. No wonder I haven't seen this for so long. It's being exported. How much is it a bottle?
Well, I got it wholesale. For yuan 20.
Pour me 2 ounces, will you?
Sure thing.
I only want a drink. Nothing to eat, thanks. Nothing to eat.
It's a shame you don't want to have something to eat with good wine like that. Why don't I give you some cold cuts as an appetizer? And after that, you can have some sautéed shrimp.
No. Just some peanuts. Do fine.
Look at you. It's Spring Festival Eve. Why are you holding yourself back? Honestly, everyone's having something wonderful tonight. And of course you can afford it. How can you be so hard on yourself at your age?
You won't let me go tonight until I've put my hand in my pocket, will you? Well, give me a cold plate. Give me a cold plate, one of them.
Cui Ming immediately put a large dish on the table. It was shaped like a plum flower and made of cold chicken, clams, smoked fish, preserved eggs, green peas and a jellyfish.
By the way, why didn't you spend a holiday at home? Instead, you put in overtime to get our boiler working for us. You deserve the extra money for that and to reward yourself with some good food.
Oh, I wasn't after money. Tonight's little Yen's shift, but he wanted to change with me so he could go to his girlfriend's. I wasn't that keen. I'm getting on in age, and my spring festival's getting fewer and fewer. My daughter and son have both come from other provinces, and we all wanted to have a family reunion dinner. But then I thought, well, it's not easy for a young boiler man to find a girlfriend, so I gave in. I can manage. Anyway, the boiler can't go off at Spring Festival. Doesn't everyone want their eating on tonight?
Well, it seems you're a very noble person. All the more reason to reward yourself with some good food. I think, how about some fish?
No, thanks. I've got to keep some money for my grandchildren tomorrow morning.
On television, an actor was miming someone having a hard time eating a tough piece of chicken. Cui Ming was beside himself with laughter.
Look, just come here and relax. My chicken is very tender. It slides right down your throat.
Old Chai gave it a poke with his chopsticks and said,
Oh, it's tender enough, but there's not much meat on it.
Well, I'm a better judge of how it should be. With wine, you have to nibble at it, bit by bit, the chicken is. If you want some plumper meat, I can cook you some diced chicken and capsicum.
If you're so smart and able to do so much with a chicken, I bet you'll make a fortune one day.
Well, I'm very grateful for those auspicious words, especially on Spring Festival.
Oh, by the way, I forgot to ask. How are your mother and sister getting on?
Oh, they're all right.
But why didn't you go back? Your parents must be very upset.
Well, if I'd have gone home for the holidays, who would have served you the drink?
Cui Ming had intended to poke fun at the old man, but the words had stung him. Why hadn't he gone home? It wasn't hard to imagine his parents insisting their new flat, thinking of him, worrying about him. How happy they would be if he just pushed open the door and appeared in front of them. But what could he take them? And how could he tell them what had happened to him the last few months? Before the summer vacation, he had failed 4 of his final examinations and hadn't even qualified for the retakes, so he had been struck off the school roll. When Bai Ling heard the news, she sat dumbly in the corner for a long time before bursting into tears. She cried as if the news had broken her heart. She hadn't come to see him since. He had telephoned several times to arrange to see her, but all he got was a snub, as if she had never known him. He didn't hate her. He hated himself. he resolved to make his guest welcome cafe successful and famous. Suddenly, a truck pulled up outside, and in came three men in dogskin hats and grey sheepskin overcoats.
Ha! You're still open. You're a good businessman.
Leading them from the truck was a man with a ruddy face and a booming voice. Cui Ming guessed they were probably long-distance drivers. He helped them hang up their coats and discovered they were wearing brand new uniforms. They had three red stripes around the cuffs, but they didn't look like the customs or railway uniforms.
So, where do you come from?
From the north end of the street.
And where are you going?
To the dustbins.
Oh, I see. The three of you are...
Well, we're from the Environmental Protection Bureau. What? Never seen these before? They've just been issued. Well, today's Spring Festival Eve, so you've got to make a good showing.
Wait a minute. You don't even get time off today?
Time off? Ha! Why, the dustbins are full to the brims at festivals. How can we take time off?
No wonder everybody's plucking chickens and ducks. More coal gas burned, so there are more ashes than usual.
Damn it! Some people always dump their ashes outside the bins and never do that little bit extra.
They're not to blame. The bins were probably overflowing, so they had to.
Well, it doesn't matter to you. You sit up front and don't get wind and ashes in your face. But I've got the job of shoveling up what they leave.
You've worked extra hard today. We're going to treat you to dinner.
Have we got time? We've only made one trip. I'm worried we won't get things finished.
We've got enough time. Once we've eaten and drunk our fill, we can do twice as much work. Hey, young fellow, what have you got here that's good?
Cui Ming had been standing next to them waiting for their order. Pouring some more water into the teapot, he smiled broadly.
Okay, what would you like to eat? You can have anything you want. Well, of course, as long as I can make it.
What have you got? You sound as though you've got everything.
Well, we're certainly no match for the big restaurants. But I'll tell you this, we do have clams, prawns, scallops, and sea slugs, as well as poultry, fish, and meat.
You seem to know what you're doing. How about making it 2 yuan per person for the three of us? And make it as good as you can.
2 yuan? What can you get today with 2 yuan? We've got our double time, night shift subsidy, and meal money. What does that come to? This, if you ask me, we shouldn't grudge ourselves food tonight. Let's spend what we have. You don't have to treat me. I'll share the cost with you. Who else understands what we put up with? And if we don't look after ourselves, who else will?
Moved. Each of them fished out their 5 yuan notes on the table. They said to themselves that it's only once a year. Cui Ming, managing to contain his delight, gathered up the money and put it by a red-faced man's hand.
No. Please keep your money for the moment. If you're satisfied with the meal, we'll settle it afterwards. If not, well, then of course it's my treat. But if the three of you want to eat, and eat, and eat to your heart's content, you'd better pay for some extra drinks.
But have you got something decent to drink?
Cui Ming pointed at the boiler man Chai sitting at the corner and said,
He's drinking vintage Fengcheng wine. Just ask him what he thinks of it.
The red-faced man went over and picked up the glass and sniffed. He asked for a bottle. Cui Ming went into action like a machine. He set out plates and the chopsticks, then brought a big cold plate and a platter of sliced raw fish, placed like a crescent moon decorated with a cabbage heart cut in the shape of a phoenix tail. This was a famous local dish. While they were drinking, bright yellow fried clams were served, and these were followed by green vegetables with mushrooms and vermilion prawns. For the final dish, he prepared an assortment of sea slugs, abalone, conch, scallops, and shrimps. Within an hour, all six dishes were on the table. Now in high spirits, the three men happily proposed a toast to Cui Ming. He sipped a little from a glass, but didn't eat any food. Seeing them talking and laughing, the boiler man Chai couldn't help observing,
This young chef really knows a thing or two, doesn't he, eh?
Just then, the red-faced man held up his chopsticks and turned to Boiler Man Chai.
Hey, why don't you have a taste? It's superb.
Old Chai shuffled over to them and looked at the food.
Marvellous.
You're still on duty, are you?
Yeah, I'm working on the boiler for this building.
Wow, you must make a lot of money.
I do all right.
You're too penny-pinching. On Spring Festival Eve, all you eat is a cold dish. That won't do your stomach any good.
Come and join us. We're in the same boat, working shifts at holidays. Come on, share this with us.
Well, as long as you don't really mind, I'll share the cost with you.
Before Old Chai had even sat down, Cui Ming had taken his plate over.
Do you want to order anything else?
Don't put him to any more expense. Anyway, we can hardly finish eating this, and we've got nearly enough to drink.
I'll pay for the drinks. The liquor's from my own. That'll be my treat. Drink up. If you want more, we can order another bottle. In fact, I earned more than you did tonight. The building collected over 10 yuan for me to work overtime tonight, so you just help yourselves.
Probably because the boiler man was a little tipsy or just in a good mood, he had revealed his earnings without being asked. On television, a film star was saying how much she missed her parents, especially at the holiday. Then she sang a Sichuan folk song.
Look, she's a big star, but she can't go home for her holidays either. So what have we got to complain about?
As for Cui Ming, he had hoped more people would not be spending the festival at home and would come to his restaurant instead, so he could make more money. He reckoned the four of them would spend about 21 yuan tonight. He would make over 8 yuan, 40% profit. Even more, in fact, since he had gotten the seafood at a discount from friends. And the other ingredients were not that expensive either. A lot of his mates who worked at sea often stopped by for a drink, and Cui would treat them to a meal on the house. When he started out, people suggested he shouldn't go for too much profit and instead should serve good cheap food in order to get customers and build up his business. This he had done, but he hadn't really made any profit. He thought now was the time to start making a little money. Cui Ming's four customers were enjoying themselves, but he felt tired. He wanted to go to bed, but they continued with their drinking, and there was still a lot of washing up to be done. During his 20-odd years, he had never been so busy at Spring Festival. He had stayed here all alone and worked hard. But what for? Just money? He looked at the four men. They would be going back to work. He could get some sleep later, but they would be busy till dawn. What did you do it for? Just to earn more? That was not really true, but he didn't want to pursue the question further. In any case, he hadn't been wrong to keep his cafe open tonight. Suddenly, he heard the sound of a motorbike outside. Opening the door, Cui Ming saw it was Jen, the designer from the Rainbow Cinema. He was an art school graduate. Cui's sister had studied painting with him, and his whole family respected Jen.
So, why didn't you take the night off?
Zhao got ill, so I had to run around carrying films instead. Ah, you've got some customers inside. You're a good businessman.
Isn't the show finished yet?
No, it's still early. They'll be on all night tonight, because there are four films altogether, and they only started at 10.
Seeing all-night movies on Spring Festival Eve was common here. The majority of the cinema-goers were young lovers. Cui Ming gave Jen a cup of tea.
So you're going to be on the go until dawn?
Yes, I have to make a trip every 30 minutes. It's quite a job.
Every 30 minutes? Do you get extra for that?
You must be kidding. 1 yuan 60. Would I miss the festival feast for that? Anyway, I'm not working for the money. By the way, would you like to go? I can get you tickets. Well, I know you can't get away. You ought to prepare some snacks. There'll be a half-hour intermission after the first two shows. Let me get the cinema to announce your place is still open. I bet a lot of people will come.
Thanks, that'll be great.
Don't be so quick to thank me. I hope you make something for me, too.
Of course I will, and you know what? Yours will be on the house.
How can I eat for nothing?
I get paid extra for night shift.
Listening to the fading motor, it struck Cui Ming that people had become pretty careless about spending their money tonight. Why had they become hypnotized by Spring Festival? The four customers asked the training to give them their bill, although it was unnecessary since they had agreed on the price in advance. Training could see they had eaten well. They had polished off all the dishes. He went to the kitchen to get some water to serve his customers tea. The four stayed to watch television. Before the water boiled, however, Jian reappeared, this time with Xiao Cui riding the bag. She was wearing a new red brocade coat and a red ribbon in her hair and looked as though she was about to go on stage.
I bumped into Jian on my way here and got a lift. What are you staring at? Who doesn't dress up for Spring Festival? Look, I've got this box for you.
What is it?
Dumplings filled with meat and shrimps. My father said they symbolize silver ingots. If you don't have dumplings on Spring Festival Eve, you won't make a fortune in the new year. So he got me to bring you some.
You didn't have to come.
What? Instead of being grateful, you complain. I'll take it back then.
Cui Ming grabbed her by the arm, saying, Oh, no, no. Xiao Cui looked down at his greasy hand, but didn't try to remove it, and then suddenly blushed.
What are you doing?
I'm making some tea because they had a bit too much to drink, and I want to go back to work in a while.
It's not much good drinking tea. You need to make them a fruit drink. You put boiling water into a pot, add sliced apples and whore jelly, then thicken it with starch and put some sugar in. It's got a sweet and sour taste. They'll sober up right away after drinking that.
Xiao Cui took off her coat, put a white apron over her pink sweater and began to peel some apples. While Xiao Cui was making the drink, Cui Ming took the time to relax a bit. He leant against the doorframe, watching her. Her pink jersey was shot with silver. Her face and hair glowed in the dancing flame. He had long thought she was kind-hearted, but had never seen her as nice as she was tonight. 2 years earlier, her mother had been diagnosed as having lung cancer. Cui Ming had put himself out to go to Beijing, helped her to get into a hospital and then asked his father to perform an operation. As a result, her mother lived for another year. 6 months ago, she had passed away. It was just then that Cui Ming had had to leave the television university and been ditched by his girlfriend. The two blows had driven him to despair. To help him set up his restaurant, Xiao Cui and her father had given up their jobs at a factory canteen. It was her father who had taught him how to cook. Soon the delicious and fragrant soup was ready.
Wow, that is the type of thing that used to be drunk by the Empress Dowager, I suppose.
Nah, we didn't have this kind of apple then. She was unlucky. We're lucky to have this drink tonight. Last year, we could hardly get a cup of tea, never mind anything like this.
We couldn't find anything open when we were driving. This is the only place.
Have you heard the story of the Unique in the Capital Tavern? It serves steamed dumplings near Tianmen Gate in Beijing. It was originally called the Li Family Tavern. Manager Li was a good person and a clever businessman. Every Spring Festival Eve, all the other restaurants were closed, but his. He kept it open. So debtors, runners, and people with nowhere to go could enjoy themselves there. One year, a man in a long gown came in and said, I've walked all over town tonight, but only your place is open. What would you say if I called your tavern Unique in the Capital? A few days later, a sign inscribed with that name was delivered to him. Who do you think the man in the long gown was?
Who?
Emperor Qianlong, and he had personally written the characters on the sign.
The red-faced man shouted to Cui Ming.
Marvelous! Your tavern's unique too. You ought to call it Unique in the Capital.
Cui Ming shook his head, saying no.
No. Li's place was in Beijing, but mine is in a small town.
How could it be compared with a capital? What's more, it was Emperor Qianlong who named it.
It doesn't matter whether it was the emperor or his grandmother. In any case, the street Li's tavern was on wouldn't have been as wide as the square in the front of our railway station, would it?
How about this? We're not in the capital, but next to the sea. So we could call it the... how about the Unique by the Sea? That sounds good.
That's great. The sea's wider than the capital anyway.
I'll make a new signboard for Cui. I'll write the characters in gold on a black background to give it an antique flavor.
All present made good suggestions one after another to improve Cui Ming's restaurant. Cui Ming was overjoyed and moved.
Ah, you're a great group, really.
On television, some film stars were striking a huge bell. Outside the window, fireworks exploded.
Okay then, let's get going. It's a new year, and it's time we got back to work again.
Cui Ming shouted, "Wait, wait!" He turned to Xiao Cui and asked her to warm up the dumplings in the box she brought to him. Everybody thanked him, saying they had had more than enough. But Cui Ming insisted they all sit down.
Look, come over here, come over here. Look, you have to be my guest, and you have to have some. Dumplings symbolize silver ingots. And of course, if you eat them, you know, it'll bring you good luck all year long.
Thank you, Li Ping, for your excellent rendition of the story, and the whole team for their work on the production. Our thanks also to Zhang Jiaping for adapting the story into a radio drama. We all appreciate your hard work.
Yes, Shenzhen, you know, it's at times like Spring Festival when we celebrate the importance of friends and relations. It's very uplifting to hear how important a little human kindness and understanding can be in relations with other people.And I think it usually is the case that kindness is repaid with kindness.
Yes, it's true. The story brought back many memories of those years, you know. I remember how people always wore their best clothes for the festival and always pasted the traditional spring festival greetings to their front doors and the loud fireworks. The color red is also seen a lot around New Year because of its symbolism of luck and happiness.Something else that's interesting is that back in the 80s, 3 yuan was more than enough for a decent meal. Have you noticed that, Shenting?
Yes, I still remember that. But of course, sharing jiaozi or dumplings is still an important part of the celebrations, especially in North China. While in the South, like in my hometown, people like to eat tang yuan or glutinous dumplings with various fillings. Jiaozi and tang yuan are symbolic of silver ingots or good fortune.And people everywhere greet each other with best wishes for the coming new year.
But I think the festival is in danger of losing its significance, and some traditions have already been lost over the years. For example, firecrackers are now prohibited in many parts of the country. I know it's for the sake of safety and protection of the environment, but I still think it has changed the character of the festival a bit.
Oh, you are just being nostalgic.You can always dampen balloons instead to add to the atmosphere. If you think of how people's lives have improved over the past 2 decades, I'm sure you'll agree that we've got many things to be thankful for. People can afford so much more, and many can even spend their holidays traveling now.
Yes, and I think what remains unchanged is that it's the most important occasion for the family.In China, the transportation department, the railroad in particular, nervously awaits the rush of travelers heading home from all parts of the country. I know you go home to spend the festival with your family every year, don't you?
Yes, it's a must for me to go back home to visit my parents every year in the east of the country. There is a song named Go Back Home More Frequently. It premiered at the annual TV gala in 1999 on Spring Festival Eve.And has since become popular nationwide. People often remember this song during the Spring Festival.
The lyrics goes like this. Go back home often, even if you're busy. Go back home often, with your smile and a blessing. Mother has so much to say to you, and Father will prepare a big feast. Share your troubles in life with Mother, and talk over your problems at work with Father. Go back home often, even if it's only to help wash bowls and chopsticks. Instead of expecting sons and daughters to bring great honors back home with them, parents would rather wish them to have a safe and happy life. Well, that brings us to the end of our Spring Festival special. We hope you all enjoy the drama.
We wish everybody a
happy and prosperous New Year.
I'm Shen Ting, so long.
And I'm Shan Shan. Bye for now.
Learn Chinese now.
大家好，欢迎收听现在学汉语，我是曼丽。
我是 Stuart. Now we'll start right away.
Because today we'll learn a lot of stuff. 因为今天我们将要学习很多东西。东西D-O-N-G-X-I, remember, is stuff.
All things. Fine, so what are we going to learn?
Well, last lesson we taught our listeners 夏天 and 秋天, which mean summer and autumn. Now we'll learn how to say winter and spring in Chinese.
冬天 D-O-N-G-T-I-A-N 冬天 Both first tone is winter.And out of interest, in Chinese there's another word, dong, also spelt D-O-N-G, but it's in the fourth tone, and it means freezing.
And 春天, C-H-U-N-T-I-A-N, 春天 means spring.
So now we've learned all the four seasons of a year. They are
春天, spring, 春天,
夏天, summer.夏天
秋天 autumn 秋天
and 冬天 winter 冬天 Hey, that seems pretty easy.
Last lesson, Stuart told me that he had heard about 听说过听说过 quite a few places of interest. However, he hasn't had a chance to visit them yet.
That's right. 我听说过很多风景名胜，但是一直没有机会去。
风景名胜，风景 ，F-E-N-G-J-I-N-G， first tone， third tone， 风景 ，scenery， and 名胜 ，M-I-N-G-S-H-E-N-G， 名胜 ，is place of interest。
一直 ，we know is always， 一直。So, 一直没有 means always not have, or in real English, never have. So, I never have a chance is... 对了，我一直没有机会。我一直没有机会。机会, of course, is chance or opportunity.
Right. Now here's the whole sentence. 我听说过很多风景名胜，但是一直没有机会去。我听说过很多风景名胜，但是一直没有机会去。
What a pity. You bet I feel sad about that, Manly.
Don't worry, Stuart. As I told you, 我和你一起去。我可以做你的导游。我和你一起去。我可以做你的导游。
Ah, travel with me and be my guide. Really? 真的吗?
Of course. 当然。当然是真的。
Wonderful. Manly and I together go. Manly 和我一起去。Go together. 一起去。
And I can be your guide. 我可以做你的导游。我可以做你的导游。导游 D-A-O-Y-O-U, third tone, second tone, 导游 means guide. 做 Z-U-O, 做 fourth tone, can mean do or make. Here it means be or serve as. 我可以做你的导游。我可以做你的导游。
真的吗? Really? 真的吗? 太好了。Wonderful, great, 太好了。This is a very common expression.
And a good end to our lesson. Everyone can have a good rest now.
真的吗?太好了。So everybody, 明天见。
明天见。
You've been listening to the English Service of China Radio International. We've now reached the end of this one-hour program, and we hope you've enjoyed it. If you have any comments or suggestions, you'd like a program schedule, or if you'd like to know the frequency for your area, write to us at the English Service, China Radio International, Beijing, China. The postal code is 100040.Or you can reach us by email at crieng@cri.com.cn. You can also visit our website at english.cri.com.cn for more news and other information about China and the rest of the world. On behalf of the CRI team here in Beijing, this is Wang Lu saying goodbye and thanks for joining us.